Harry, I'm going to resolve the whole problem for you. To get to the punchline, the end of the talk first, I'm going to suggest there are no races. There are two form species. And we need to work from that perspective. I hope you will challenge this idea, teach me how to think about it critically. But we have, since 1992, we have done a tremendous amount of work on virulence. Virulence is still the key criteria to defining physiological races. By definition, you have to have reciprocal relationships on hosts, preferably the primary host. If you don't have that, you don't have races. And we have looked at this very critically, and one of our approaches has been to use vegetative compatibility, because compatibility does relate to races, such as the celery, the race 2 in celery is a single BCG. The Israelis reported that race 3 in cotton is a single BCG. There are many examples in verticillium. Nearly all the host specialization in verticillium relates to BCG structure. Chris? I do want to thank a whole lot of people who have helped me over the last, since 1992. We provided disease plant materials, soils, all sorts of things, the specimens they have in the culture collections, and we have collected materials that originated from culture collections, plants grown in, we particularly put emphasis on plants grown in infested soils, infested with nematodes, that is. 20 reniform nematode infested soils from 8 states, 18 nematode survey soils looking for root knot, 5 counties north Texas, and 10 nematode survey soils looking for any kind of nematode in 3 counties in south Texas. We looked at it, affected plant materials provided by a number of investigators when there were very serious outbreaks of Fusarium wilt. And we've looked at live cotton seed imported from Australia on 3 different shiploads and into this country. The message I want to give you is that you can take the variety rowden and do a stem puncture assay. We've looked at over 1,200 isolates. You can break them into 2 major groups based on the stem puncture inoculation to rowden. The protocol we use is shown here. We use rowden. Plants are started with 9,45-15 fertilizer. We inoculate them almost precisely when the 5th true leaf unfolds, which is usually 24 hours under our environmental protocol. Conidia are prepared from 3-day-old spread cultures on PDA containing antibiotics to ensure there is no bacterial growth. We take a section of this, make a suspension of conidia in sterile water, and droplets then are laid on each side of the hypocotyl below the cotyledonary node, and a single puncture with a 23-gauge needle is put in. When you do this with the traditional fusarium races 1, 2, 6, or in this group, you get symptoms such as shown here, where the symptoms first develop on the margins of the leaf and proceed inward. If you do sectioning of the tissues, you find the vessels supplying these parts of the leaves are completely plugged. So there's extensive vascular colonization, and there is plugging connected with it. This is a single leaf. And based on this assay, you can divide Fusarium oxysporum pathogens of cotton into 2 major groups, a vascular competent group and a vascular incompetent group, or could also be referred to as a root rot group. The vascular competent group causes progressive colonization and symptoms when conidia are introduced into the stems by puncture inoculation. And for example, this includes Fusarium oxysporum Bass infectum would have been referred to as races 1, 2, and 6, which I agree with the A designation, or better yet, there aren't any races. The other group is the vascular incompetent group. They fail to colonize or cause appreciable damage to the plant when they're introduced directly as washed conidia into the xylem system. Both groups will cause extensive wilt and pneumatic symptoms in a root dip assay. So you cannot distinguish them based on a root grip assay, but you can on the basis of a stem puncture assay. And examples of the vascular incompetent of root rot group include traces 3, 4, 5, and the serious isosomal strait, which we have found appear to be related to race 3. This is just to show you an example, comparing a water check with the Australian isolate in the middle and the California isolate on the right. You can see with the stem puncture there are no external symptoms, even though the Australian isolate is attacking hirsutans, causing severe disease there in a stem puncture, it causes no symptoms. None of the isolates, we isolated 17 different fusarium oxystems from Australia seed. They nearly all were related to race 3 derivatives, and none of them caused any symptoms in a puncture assay. All were virulent in root dip assays. If we look at what's happening in the plant, if we look at foliar damage, the 17 Australian isolates we got fit into four different VCGs, and none of the isolates in any of those VCGs caused foliar damage. They caused no leaf weight loss. They caused no shoot weight reduction. In comparison, FOB11 or any of the other 150-some isolates we have in the competent group all caused appreciable foliage damage, and they all caused appreciable leaf weight and shoot weight reduction. If we look within the vascular system, what's happening, we can, if you remember, I said we take plants when the fifth leaf is just emerging. At this point, the vessels in the fourth internode are closed, and the vessels in the petioles are closed. So none of the inoculum, the original inoculum, is going to get into this area. It is going to require secondary colonization. In the case of FOB11 California, you can see in all cases, we did get colonization into the fourth internode and into the fourth petiole. But with the Australian isolates and various groups, it was very rare we ever found the fungus progressing into the fourth internode or into the petiole. In fact, in most cases, we had 0 of 5 plants showing this symptomatic progression. In comparison, if we do a root dip assay, this compares FOB11 from California on the left with the check in the middle and isolate, seed isolate 14, which molecular-wise is a race 3, and K1 from Australia, which is called the Australian biotype. You can see we get very severe disease in the root dip assay with the Australian isolates, more so than we get with 11. The other thing I want you to note is with the Australian isolates, or the isolates in the vascular incompetent group, there's terminal death of the seedling. You do not see terminal death of the seedling even in the root dip assay with the vascular incompetent group. And we believe this is due to the fact that fusaric acid is a critical toxin in these incompetent group, and that the vascular death here, the terminal death, there is no fungus involved. You do not recover the fungus from this. And it's typical of the fusaric acid type symptoms. We've used nitrogen utilizing mutants to try to characterize the VCG groups, or just roughly use complementation between NIT1, NIT3, and NIT-M, any combination of those. Or there are 5 different NIT-Ms you can get and use complementation among NIT-Ms. What you get, the nitrate deficient mutants grow as very thin, submerged colonies on cultures, and then when the two complementing mutants meet, you see a burst of normal fungal growth, which is shown here with the red arrows. You can see in this case the NIT-M complemented positively with 4 of the NIT-1 isolates, but not with the 2, showing that in one case, the 4 isolates were in the same VCG. It gets more complex in that the major VCG group in cotton, VCG1, has a subcomponent structure, and you can distinguish this by the NIT-M isolate tester we show here. Note that isolate 218 is a universal tester. That is, it complements equally well with the A, B, and C group. But other testers, like the 15 and 12, complement only the A group, 84 only the B group, and 13 only the C group. So we routinely use 5, 13, and 84, usually to make an initial assignment to the BCG subgroup A, B, or C, and then use the 218 complementation to ascertain that it belongs in this major subgroup. Using this, we've been able to divide most of our isolates into three major BCG. You can see the majority, the total number of isolates is shown, like 19 and 1A, 23 and 1B, and the majority of our isolates in the United States do fit into this BCG1 complex. But we also, and it's interesting here that race 1 does not, the type specimen does not fit in this group. Race 1 is in fact a very isolated indigenous population to Clemson, South Carolina. We've never found anything in the rest of the world that would complement. The same is true of race 6 from Brazil. It complements nothing else. It's a local population. Race 2 type specimen does complement our BCG 2 group. The 3 group is another distinct group, which we do see some virulence characteristics that are different about it. It's interesting in that it does not occur in Alabama. The Fusarium wilt nursery in Alabama is a rich source of variability in Fusarium. But the 3 group does not occur there. Rather, it occurs across the areas of the belt where soybeans are grown in rotation with cotton. And we find that this particular group, most isolates in this group, do have some virulence to soybean, whereas in none of the other groups does it. The picture is, of course, much more complex in that there are 14 confirmed BCGs now. This is in the vascular complement group. There are probably as many as 25. The 15 to 25 group, we have not got both NIT1 and NIT M mutants to confirm their complementation. So it's most isolates do fit into one of the 3 major groups, but there are a lot of interesting cases. Like I say, BCG4 in our system is the race 1 type specimen, and we find it nowhere else. 5 is the race 6 type specimen, we found it nowhere else. There were local populations we found in Lafayette County, Arkansas, which we found nowhere else. The same way at the Delta Pine Research Farm in Mississippi, we found some isolates found nowhere else. And in the Alabama nursery, you can see there's all kinds of isolates that we find that will not complement anything else. We've looked at pathogenicity to a number of crops. The closest thing we could get to Armstrong's original differential. We've looked at 8 different cultivars of Hirsutum. We've looked at Mississippian Barbadense, Seabrook Sea Island 12B2, and Mississippian Rubaceae in accession number A117. We've also looked at Clemson Spinalis, okra, grim alfalfa, Dixie Trifold, Dollar Tobacco, El Rado soybean, Magnum 45 cantaloupe, and Bonnie Best tomato. This is just to remind you that race 1, 2, and 6 are based on differential reactions. Based on differential reactions on Old Dollar Tobacco and El Rado soybean only. This, of course, is in conflict with traditional methods of defining races. Race 6, likewise, is differentiated on tobacco. So we decided to do a critical look at tobacco as well as these other hosts. This simply compares the BCG groups and their virulence to the 8 Hirsutum cultivars. The thing to see is that the BCG1C group is the most virulent group we're dealing with, and it's consistently more virulent across all cultivars. There are no reciprocal relationships. For the most part, it doesn't matter which BCG they're in, they show similar virulence to Hirsutum. We've also compared the mean of the virulence to Hirsutum cultivars with virulence to Herbaceum and Morbidensi. And again, we find the same situation, that the BCG1C group, which is more virulent to Hirsutum, is also much more virulent to Herbaceum and one of the most virulent to Barbadens. The BCG The two group was also a little more virulent to barbiturates than most of the other VCPs. We looked further. I'm going to just give you a brief summation of this. We looked at most of the isolates against these crops too. As pointed out by Armstrong, the competent group is extremely virulent on Conspinus ocra and Grimmel falco. And as a root dip assay, it kills both of these crops. And this is true of all PCGs. You cannot distinguish PCGs on this basis. On tobacco, we found all VCGs are mildly virulent to gold gallon, which is considered by the tobacco people to be a susceptible, preserving both susceptible cotton. On Dixie Bright, they were much less virulent, and only VCG1 group caused any significant reduction in weight. On Yale Rato soybean, we found that VCG1C and 2 caused a very mild loss weight reduction. All other VCGs caused no damage to soybean. On Magnum 45, now we found VCG3 that caused some damage to the cattle. And on Bonnie Best tomato, in a traditional root dip assay, none of them were virulent. But in a crown rot plate assay, many of these isolates killed all 5 tomatoes in the assay. So they are, most of the isolates are virulent in the crown rot assay. In contrast, the incompetent group, they do not attack ocra. They do not, even by root dip assays, they do not attack alfalfa. They do not attack tobacco, soybeans. They are specific. They are specific to cotton. And consequently, it appears they may be a very different group. Sorry. Just briefly on dimension toxins, we have done a great deal of work. Our work with hepatitis toxins, of course, was published in Pest Management Science in 2002-3. But cotton also produces, we haven't published yet, the dipsypeptide bovarisin. You find the bovarisin and the nonaketide by Cavern are produced by all isolates of Fusarium oxysporum that are pathogenic to cotton. Whether they're vascular competent or incompetent, it does not matter. They all produce these two toxins. The vascular competent isolates, on the other hand, also produce a major amount of the heptaketides. I show you just two structures here. There's actually about 7 different compounds here that are formed as a group. So there's a major regulator that turns on a whole complex pathway. And this pathway operates in vascular competent ones. We have not found it to operate in vascular incompetent ones. Fusaric acid, on the other hand, we find it is always produced in high concentrations by the vascular incompetent group, or the root rotters. And we see evidence that it's playing a major role in pathogenicity there. The vascular competent group, also some of them make fusaric acid, but it seems to be regulated differentially. It's easily turned off by zinc in complex media in this group, whereas it is not readily turned off by zinc in the root rotting group. The main thing that I've concluded from all of this, I think there is a basis for establishing a new form species. I suggest we call the Cypii to apply to what now is called races 3, 4, 5 in the Australian biotech. These things are very different in their vascular competence, they're very different in their host range, and they're very different in their toxin profiles. This means we've only studied 3 or 4 genes here in terms of molecular characterization, but all these other differences indicate there are hundreds of genes that are different between these two groups as groups. And my proposal would be that we maintain VAS infectum with the vascular competent group, where we look at the idea of identifying the second group, which is totally specific to cotton, as one species specific. I say I would appreciate your feedback on this. Any problems you see with it? In these two groups, we see no, at the present, we see no real basis for races There are no differential force reactions that can be used reliably. And we have never been able to repeat differential reactions of the type specimens of race 1 and 2, radical or soybean. And consequently, we see no reason that we should go on talking about race 1, 2, and 6 in this passenger. Whether there are races in the other group still remains to be determined. Now, we have recently, Dr. Liu and I have done just some work. We established some reniform beds in our nematode greenhouses 15 years ago before FiberMax was ever planted in the United States. And one of these beds came from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and one from Mexico, Texas. We confirm now very definitely both of these beds have the root rot in root. There are race 3 and race 3 derived isolates in those soils that were brought in 15 years ago. We just had not been using the right techniques to find these things. You don't go up and isolate in the petiole or the upper part of the stem to get these. You have to go down at the crown level. They do go into the vascular system, but much more slowly than in the base of the plant. And molecular tools now, of course, allow us to isolate them quickly. We trap them with seedlings, plant seedlings in, and in 40 hours we go and see who has invaded that tissue to the point that chlorox doesn't take it out. And when we do this, then we can molecular characterize hundreds of these things in a hurry and see who they fit the race 3, and then we'll go back and do that on this. But the vesicle bed actually has... Oh, I'm sorry. Cut me off whenever, you know me. But the vesicle bed actually has some seed that kills Hirsutum, just like the Australian bed.